This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Well, we've all wondering how the Holy Father's doing. It's been a week since he came out of the hospital. What is the latest with the health of Pope Francis?
Yes, John. Well, this past Sunday, the Pope did lead the Angelus in St. Peter's Square. And so all eyes were on him. And to clarify, the week prior to that, while he was in Gemelli Hospital, he did pray the Angelus, and that was right there on the terrace of his hospital room. Now, since then, of course, he has been released from Gemelli Hospital after recovering there after that scheduled surgery for diverticular stenosis of the colon. And when he prayed the Angelus this Sunday in St. Peter's Square, somebody remarked that his voice was sounding a bit weaker than usual. I would think that that's probably only to be expected during the recovery process of an 84-year-old patient. And in the meantime, we've not received any internal reports of anything happening in the Pope's recovery process that's out of the ordinary or a cause of concern at this point. So the Pope was released on July 14th, and after that, sent a letter, John, to convey his gratitude to the people who cared for him, also to impart his apostolic blessing on the hospital administration and the board of directors and the staff, because he called their work a work of mercy. And through that work, they can come in contact with the wounded flesh of Jesus Christ. And he noted that his stay was very meaningful. He said he carried in his heart the faces and the stories of suffering that he encountered, that the reception that he received was very warm and fraternal, and that he felt at home because the hospital took care of both the body and heart. And in that letter of thanks, Pope Francis confirmed that he will pray that the administration and staff of Gemelli Hospital continue to instill consolation and hope for their patients in all moments of trial, John.
Awesome. There were apparently a number of Cuban flags in St. Peter's Square for the Angelus, which prompted the Holy Father to express his closeness to what he called the dear Cuban people. Can you talk a little bit about the heart that the Holy Father has for these people in Cuba who have been suffering for decades under communism? And now we've seen some of the largest protests we've ever seen on that island and reaction in South Florida as well.
Yes, and when the Pope spoke this message, though those flags of Cuba in St. Peter's Square, imagine they were waving, people were cheering. And what he had to say was, as you said, John, he wanted to express his closeness to the Cuban people who are protesting against that communist regime, against their deteriorating living conditions. And he expressed closeness to the families, especially who are suffering, to those who are dealing with inflation, with food shortages. Now, he also referred especially to Our Lady of Charity of El Cobre. So she's the patroness of Cuba. He said, "I urge all Cubans to entrust themselves to the maternal protection of the Virgin Mary of Charity of Cobre." And he promised that she would accompany them on this journey. Now, he also prayed that the Lord might help that nation construct a society that's more just and that it's more fraternal, but especially through peace, dialogue, and solidarity. And while he was praying, John, he also expressed solidarity with the victims of flooding in Germany and Belgium and Netherlands that's killed over 180 people now. He asked that the Lord welcome the deceased, comfort the loved ones. And he also prayed especially against the violence in South Africa that has claimed the lives of more than 200 people now, and prayed that the desire for peace that has guided the South African people, that will be realized and that harmony will exist amongst the people of that nation, John.
And Ashley, the Holy Father, who has the heart of a pastor, he is, after all, our universal pastor, was deeply saddened when he got word of the bombing at a market in the capital of Iraq, Baghdad, that killed 30 people. What has been the Holy Father's reaction to that unfortunate bombing?
Yes, John. And You know, it's especially poignant for Pope Francis because, of course, he visited Iraq in March earlier this year. And the theme of that trip was forgiveness. It was healing and reconciliation after so many years of war and terrorism. So yesterday, he sent a telegram through the Vatican Secretary of State, sending condolences for all those who died in the bombing in Baghdad, and also renewing his appeal for healing and reconciliation in the nation. And he conveyed the message that of his fervent prayers, and that no act of violence should diminish the efforts of those who are striving to promote reconciliation and peace in Iraq. And when he had visited Iraq, I mentioned that the theme was healing, was forgiveness and reconciliation back in March. And during his time there, he also prayed for those who have been killed over the years through war and terrorism. And he said that the diverse religious and cultural fabric of that nation, it's weakened by the loss of any of its members. And so, again, that same prayer is re-emphasized here today, John.
Ashley, I'm curious. We heard word of the Holy Father's motu proprio on the traditional Latin Mass last Friday. It's produced a lot of reaction in social media and especially in traditional Catholic circles. What has been the reaction in Rome?
Yes. Well, John, you know, first of all, just to mention real quickly, a lot of people's first question to me has been, what is a motu proprio? And to clarify, in canon law, this is a document with legal effect. It's issued by the Pope on his own initiative, and it's signed by him. And then, of course, this motu proprio, Traditionis Custodis, that just came out this past Friday, it abrogates and suppresses almost all the tenets of Pope Benedict XVI's 2007 Apostolic Letter Summorum Pontificium. And so as for the reaction here in Rome, very interesting. Amongst the Latin Mass community, people are certainly talking about how the word that we're hearing is helpless. There's confusion. People have even expressed the word devastated. And, you know, some are saying, when there's so many pressing things in the church to be dealt with, like financial scandals and sexual abuse scandals, there's curiosity. Why did this happen? Why has it been such a swift and strong motu proprio that has come down? And one man who was not a Latin Mass attendee but a Vatican consultant said that he has observed that many people within the Latin Mass community are feeling singled out. They're feeling like they've been given rigorous penalties for nothing that they feel like they've done except for being true and faithful to the Mass that has been celebrated by saints and martyrs over the centuries. So it's very interesting. Bishop Charles Moreau of Freiburg said that, you know, what makes us Catholic is that sense of universalism. And it's important not to take out the spices and leave only a bland soup in terms of the diversity of liturgical expression that the church has had for over 1500 years. So some very interesting reactions from this side of the sea, John.
Absolutely. And of course, lots of reaction here in the United States, and many bishops have spoken about this. And so we're going to continue to see how it all develops. Today is also the feast of St. Lawrence of Brindisi. How is this feast being celebrated in Roma?
Well, you know, actually, the real place to be right now is Brindisi itself. And as a little side note, Brindisi, which is in Puglia, Brindisi, the word means toast. And so, first of all, we know they're doing lots of toast today. But starting today, there's all kinds of special celebrations going on. So first of all, today is celebrated after Lauds with the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament all day long in that town of Brindisi. And then tomorrow, after the Holy Mass, there's going to be a torchlight procession that goes through the town. And then the next day, there's going to be a Eucharistic celebration that's followed by anointing of any of the sick of the parish. And then the next day, there will be Holy Mass in the morning. And then after that, the priest will bless all of the cars of those present. And everyone will also receive a special window sticker that has the light likeness of St. Lawrence, and that sticker is meant to be placed on your car. In the meantime, they have placed lights all over the city. A local band will be playing during the procession with the statue of the great saint. There's going to be lots of food and lots of fun, John.
It sure sounds like the Italian people know how to celebrate their saints.
Yes, they do. We do it big.
Absolutely. Sure. On somewhat of a downer note, can you update us with what's going on with this sting operation that has caught criminals masquerading as cardinals of the church?
Yes, it's really quite shocking, and it feels like it has to be fiction, but it's real. So a group of con men who've been dressing up as cardinals in order to swindle victims out of millions of dollars have finally been caught by Italian police. And that all happened, as you mentioned, John, in an undercover sting operation, believe it or not, with the officers themselves disguised as priests.
Wow.
Now,
unbelievable.
What they've discovered, I know, it is absolutely unbelievable. Since 1988, this group of five con men, they're between the ages of 58 and 75, they've been pretending to be priests, monsignors, cardinals, and have been presenting themselves as intermediaries of the Vatican. They've taken on special priestly names, and they say that they can get special loans and without requiring personal finance guarantees from different organizations. So they would hold meetings near to the Vatican in order to make it seem credible, make what they were doing seem credible. And so finally, a trap was set by our military police, the Carabinieri, at the Basilica of Holy Mary and of the Angels and the Martyrs here in central Rome. And the gang had an appointment. They were supposed to collect 15,000 euro. And that was supposed to be surety for a loan of about 500,000. The con men said, to the victims, they said, excuse us for one moment. We just have to step aside. And they actually started to leave the basilica then by a rear exit. But a group of police that were dressed up as priests managed to stop them. And it was reported that one of the con men even said, how can the police arrest me? I'm extraterritorial. Right. So apparently they were even believing their own hype after all these years. So quite an incredible story right here in the heart. And this is not the first, of course, scandal like this, but we're very blessed to know that that intelligence is certainly watching these things happening.
It surely sounds like a Hollywood movie script. Ashley,
yes.
As always, thank you for your update from Rome with a little bit of everything in today's report.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.